First Baptist family, it's so good to see y'all tonight. So incredibly thankful and grateful to be here with you. Tonight we are looking at one of our old familiar favorites, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. These are two verses that in my life I have clung to, that I have seen the Lord speak time and time again, and I am just so incredibly grateful for God's word and just how we can see through Christ, we can find victory over worry. That we don't have to stay in the same old pitfalls of worry time and time again. No, through scripture we see that we have been given a roadmap for how we can find victory over worry. So starting off tonight, I have an important question that I want you to ask yourself and evaluate in your own life. How much do you worry? How much do you worry? It could be about big things, small things, the future, the past, situations, circumstances, you name it. How much do you worry? I know this was a revealing question in my own life. Asking this of myself, how much do I worry? To tell you the truth, I worry a lot. I worried about the Discover class this morning. I worried about getting visitation together in time this afternoon. I worried about this passage teaching us not to worry. Worry is something that each and every one of us struggle with in our own unique way. There's something that it is not just particular to a specific person, time, place, or thing. Worry is something that affects all of us. But fortunately for us, it does not have to be this way. We see through God's word a beautiful roadmap from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4. So with that, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we are so incredibly grateful for you and for your word. Lord, would you get me out of the way? Would the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight? Lord, we are so incredibly grateful for you. Lord, we just give this time to you and ask that you would do with it whatever you will. Lord, we love you. This we ask in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, these are just some prolific words from the Apostle Paul. Paul is coming out right off the bat and he's saying, do not worry. And he's showing us how we can find victory over worry. But it's important for us to take a moment and to understand what Paul was going through in his life while he was writing these words. You see, Paul, while he was writing this letter to the church in Philippi, was in jail. And this just isn't jail. This was like cold, dark, dirty, dusty jail. This was a horrible place to be. Paul was chained to another human being. He did not know if he was ever going to see the light of day or face any type of victory from jail. And he was undergoing the possible threat of execution at any given moment. Yet, despite this, despite these harrowing odds, we see Paul saying, do not be anxious. Do not worry. That is so incredibly striking that despite literally thousands of things to worry about, we see Paul saying, do not worry. And he's showing us how he found contentment in Christ, how he has seen peace from God despite these difficult and dark circumstances. What a picture for us today, that we do not have to stay in our worry, that we don't have to stay in our anxiety in our difficult days. In fact, whenever Paul was writing this, we see the specific word, worry. Your copy of God's word might say anxious. This is specifically referring to worry. The literal Greek, whenever Paul was writing this, how this would have been understood would have been the concept of being deeply troubled. Having lots of weight upon your shoulders, feeling like you were being crushed by your fears, your doubts, that it was just growing too much for you to handle. Another way this could be understood would be through the concept of feeling stretched thin. You feel like your hopes are pulling you one direction, your fears are pulling you another direction, and you're stuck in the middle. feeling stretched apart and stretched thin by your worry. Friends, worry is the wrong thinking about people, about places, ideas, things, circumstances. We see worry is not helpful in the life of a believer. This is something that is seen time and time again throughout Scripture. I'm drawn back to Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus gives us three wonderful illustrations and examples of why we should not be worried. We even see him go so far as to say, worry does not add a day to your life. So why do we continue to do it? We know that worry is corrosive. Worry destroys us from the inside out. It steals our joy. It steals our contentment. It makes us completely and totally dissatisfied. But more so and worse than any of that, worry is sinful. It is sinful. It is not trusting in God's planning, not trusting in God's providence, not trusting in God to provide a way for you. So friends, we see tonight the problem of worry in our lives. We've seen how worry is pervasive, how it just destroys from the inside out. Worry is a problem. But fortunately for us, throughout the book of Philippians time and time again, we see Paul present a problem and then provide us with a solution. Tonight, worry is the problem, but prayer is the solution. And Paul isn't just saying, oh, you're worried, pray about it, you'll be fine, just pray it away. No, he is giving us specific examples and illustrations of what we can do in our prayer life, specific attitudes and actions that we can take as we are following the Lord that will help reframe and reshape our priorities and perspectives and take it off of our worries and place it back onto our Savior. Friends, prayer is incredibly important in the life of a believer. And tonight we're going to look at just four simple attitudes and actions that we can take in our prayer life that will help us take a step back from worry and instead look at our Savior. The first one that we're going to look at is talking about praying about everything. Praying about everything. Too often, prayer is used as an option of last resort. In case of emergency, break glass and pray is the way the world looks at it. Friends, we know that this is not the case. We know that as a believer, we have the power of prayer at our fingertips. Isn't that just this incredible thought? Knowing that we can communicate with the holy and the living God, that he is listening to us, that he cares about us. Friends, this is why we pray about everything. Time and time again throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus giving us this example of the importance and the priority of prayer. We see Jesus time and time again, despite the pressing crowds, people wanting his attention constantly, we see Jesus taking a step back, removing himself from the crowds, from the noise, and getting alone to pray. There's one particularly amazing example in John chapter 12. This is right in the middle of Holy Week. Jesus has just triumphantly come into Jerusalem, lauded as the coming king, people crying, Hosanna. And Jesus withdraws to pray. He knew what the end of the week held. He knew that the cross was coming. And despite that, knowing that, he took time to pray. Friends, Jesus is showing us the importance of what our prayer life should look like, giving us an example of how we should pray about everything, of how we should intentionally pursue a lifestyle of prayer. That it should not just be whenever we are in dire straits, that it should not just be when things are going really bad, but we should be praying about everything, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situations. We should be bringing it before the Lord in prayer and laying it at his feet. The good, the bad, the ugly, you name it. Friends, prayer is incredibly important in the life of a believer. And that's why we should pray about everything. Now, the next reason that Paul gives us, showing us how to find victory over worry, is through praying with adoration. Praying with adoration. Adoration simply means worship. And we know that worship is so much more than the corporate worship experience that we just had. Worship is praising the Lord, thanking him for what he's done, lauding him with the attention and the honor that he so deserves. And friends, let me tell you, in my own life, as I am praising the Lord, as I am intentionally giving him honor and glory, it is really hard to stay focused on my problems and my worries. Because friends, whenever we are in the moment, whenever we are in crisis mode, and we start looking at those worries piling up and stacking up, they can feel insurmountable. Our worry just feels too tall. It feels too big, just too much to handle. But just how often do we forget how sovereign and how powerful and how loving our God is? Friends, as we know this, as we are praying about these things, as we are praising the Lord, it will bring you back and remind you time and time again that he is bigger than the challenges that you are facing today. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the Creator. He is our Sustainer, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Friend. Friends, there are so many countless reasons why we should be praising him. And friends, as we praise him for who he is. Praise him that he is a God that is bigger than the problems and the challenges and the worries and anxieties that you are facing. I know in the moment of worries and anxieties, it can feel like the world is turned upside down. That everything's going the wrong direction, and it's going the wrong direction incredibly quickly. But I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that we know in all things. We know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Friends, we have comfort in knowing that we have a God that is working the good details, the bad details, and everything in between, ultimately for our good. That is a remarkable truth, such a comforting fact. Friends, and we should praise God for that, knowing that he is bigger than our problems, that on our good days, he is working everything together for our good. On our bad days, whenever we are in the midst of trials and controversies and everything is going wrong, God is still behind the scenes, working that together for our good. Even if we don't see it, even if we don't believe it, friends, God is at work in your life. God is good, and we should praise him and give him the adoration that he deserves in light of this. Now, the third thing that Paul shows us about finding victory over worry is through praying with the right attitude. Praying with the right attitude. This is one of those gut check level questions for you. What is your attitude when you are going before the Lord in prayer? Is it something that is done out of habit? Is it something that is done because you've grown up in church and everyone does it all the time? Or is it something that is done out of earnestly seeking after the Lord in prayer? Something that is done because you are earnestly petitioning heaven. You are asking for God to supply and meet your needs. Or are you just casually presenting your laundry list of requirements before him? Friends, this was a convicting question to study in my own life. What's my attitude as I'm going to pray? Am I seeking the Lord, wanting to talk with him, wanting to spend time with him? Or am I doing it because I've always done it this way? Friends, your attitude is incredibly important in your prayer life. Are you earnestly seeking the Lord? Because as you are earnestly seeking the Lord, it will reshape and reframe your priorities because you are seeking after him. Coming before him needs to be something that is done earnestly, not something that is done out of habit. Are you earnestly petitioning heaven, faithfully praying that the Lord would provide and believing it and knowing his character? Or are you coming before him half-heartedly? What Paul is getting at here is saying, friends, simply put, pursue Jesus authentically. follow him fully. Go before him with an attitude seeking after him. Not after seeking your own desires, asking that your will would be done, but asking that his will would be done over your will. Friends, it is so incredibly important to pray with the right attitude. Fourth and finally, we see Paul show us that we can find victory over worry through praying with thanksgiving. Praying with thanksgiving. As we are petitioning heaven, as we are adoring God for how good he is, our prayers should reflect this. We should be thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives, what he's continuing to do in our lives, how many thousands and thousands of ways we have seen him at work. We should be thankful of this. Worry stems from looking at our problems instead of looking at our Savior. But whenever we are praying thankful prayers, friends, this releases us from this worry because we know that God is sovereign. We know that God is in control. We are so ready and willing to drop off our laundry list and our grocery list of things that we want done, but so slow to show him the thanks that he is due in light of this. Friends, there's so much to be thankful for. We should be thankful for his power, for his promises, for his provision, protection, his grace, his mercy, his sustaining work in our lives. The list goes on and on and on. And having this attitude of adoration, having this attitude seeking after him before all else, having this attitude where you are seeking the Lord urgently in prayer, you are thanking him for what he has done in your life, that you are seeking him about everything, having a prayer life that reflects these four things is so important in the life of a believer. And friends, it is a massive step in the right direction because this produces results. Because as we are seeking after the Lord earnestly, we go from looking at how big our problems are, how insurmountable the odds are, to start looking back at Jesus. Start looking upon him, knowing that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, that he is our creator, our sustainer. It takes our priorities and our perspective off of our problems, and it places it back upon the Lord. And ultimately, the result of this, the result is that his peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That his peace, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is not a stand-in. It's not a knockoff. This peace is directly from him. This peace is directly from God. And this peace is the direct opposite of our worry. Friends, I find so much comfort in knowing that this peace that we are promised is directly from him. Reminds me of John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, says Jesus. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Friends, my peace I give to you. As we follow Christ, as we seek after him, we are directly promised peace. And this peace is beyond our understanding. It is supernatural, it is divine, it is from God himself. This peace is the calm in the storm. This peace is the blessed assurance in the character of Christ, knowing that he will provide, knowing that he is good, knowing that he is sovereign. Friends, this peace is knowing that you are secure in Christ and that he is in you, that he is with you. This peace is beyond the understanding of the world. And I was drawn back to how often this world is looking for something that will give them peace. People seek after all kinds of things, wanting peace. But we know that this peace ultimately is found through Jesus. Only through a relationship with Jesus Christ can we find this true and lasting peace in our lives. And friends, for believers today, we know that having this peace in our lives, this doesn't mean you're going to get off scot-free. Peace does not mean peace as in nothing's going to go wrong. Peace means that you have assurance in God's character. This means that you can trust in God's purposes above all else, knowing that he is working, knowing that he is good. He is far greater and far better than anything that we could possibly ever face. Friends, this peace is only found through Jesus, only found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the only way that we can possibly ever find this true and lasting peace in our lives is through him and through him alone. The peace of Christ. This is the true antidote to worry. There's no other way around it. As worries pile up in our lives, as anxieties grow larger and larger, as believers, we have comfort in knowing that God's peace is in us, that it is with us. And not only is it with us, it is guarding our hearts and guarding our minds. I love that imagery, that God's peace is standing guard over us, that it's not just idly sitting by in the corner, that it is with us, it is guarding us, protecting us from worries and doubts and anxieties. Friends, God's peace is the true antidote to worry in our lives. And studying this, studying worry and anxieties and God's peace reminded me of one of my favorite Sunday school stories as a child, Daniel in the Lion's Den. I know this is a story, all of us probably know this story, and it's such a great story of God's provision and how God is so good always. You see, this was in the midst of the exile. Daniel was forcefully taken out of Jerusalem and sent to Babylon. But Daniel was growing in favor with God and with man. Daniel and King Darius ended up really hitting it off, and he ended up becoming one of the top advisors, a governor over a large territory in Babylon. This level of trust, this level of power for an outsider, made the hometown advisors pretty nervous. So they got together, they were scheming a little bit, and they came before King Darius. He said, "King Darius, you're still fairly new on the throne. We have an idea for you. How about only you can receive all the worship in the kingdom for the next 30 days? King Darius thought about this. He agreed, knowing that this would help secure his power. But this decree, this signed off legal document with threats, this didn't dissuade Daniel. Daniel still went home. And whenever he went home, we see in Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, that he remained steadfast in prayer. And while he was praying, we see that he prayed about everything. That he prayed prayers of adoration, that he was thanking God and praising him, that he was praying with the right attitude, earnestly seeking after God. And ultimately, we see that he was thankful in the midst of this. But then the advisors came barging in. And there they see Daniel down on his knees facing Jerusalem in prayer. So they snatch Daniel, they take him out of his home, they take him before King Darius. King Darius has no choice but to punish Daniel. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. Now, in this day, lions were typically starved before something like this would happen. They would not feed them for days at a time, knowing that some unfortunate prisoner was going to get thrown in there. But we know how the story ends. We know that not a hair on Daniel's head was harmed. We know that Daniel remained secure. We know that Daniel remained completely and totally safe in the midst of ravenous lions. And friends, this story, this Bible story, reminded me of the power and the importance of prayer in the life of a believer. that despite the worries and the anxieties that were facing Daniel, that despite the harrowing odds, knowing that Daniel could have been killed at any given moment, he remained steadfast in prayer. And that as he was praying, as he was earnestly seeking after God, God's peace guarded him, physically guarded him in the situation. Friends, God's peace has not changed since the story. God's peace is still standing guard in your life today over worries, over anxieties. Friends, God is so good. And I know at times there is so much that we can feel like worries are pressing in on us. But remember the character of God, that he is faithful, that he is good, and that as we are following him, as we are secure in him, his peace is guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What a picture for us today. Friends, no matter what we are facing, I know that each of us in this room are going through something different in this moment. Each of us have something unique in our life that we are going through. There's a lot to be worried about sometimes. But friends, we can have victory over worry through Christ Jesus. What a beautiful story and a beautiful picture for us today that we can find victory over worry through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, and we're just so incredibly grateful for you. Thank you for your peace, the gift that it is in our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you would grow in us a heart of prayer, that we are seeking you before all else in our lives. Lord, would you continue to grow in us a heart that wants to seek after you before all else? Lord, we love you. This we ask in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.